When I am content, I am doing something I know well, and I am being something which it is my nature to do. This is Instant Inspiration, Dr. Herbert L. Varley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California. When I am content, I am doing something I know very well, and I am being something which it is my nature to do. Many times we say, I feel so uneasy, I feel so unstable, I feel so unhappy, I don't know why. And we look at what we're doing and we say, you know, I'm doing everything right. I'm doing my daily activities right. I'm doing my work right. I'm doing everything right. Why should I feel discontented? And here's the answer. When I'm discontented, I'm doing something I don't know very well. And I am being something which it is not my nature to be. Whenever you are discontented, stop and think. What are you doing? What sort of things are you putting in motion for yourself? What sort of attitudes are you putting in motion for yourself? What sort of a world are you creating about yourself? Are you creating a world about yourself that is something not that is right for you? Let's look at the concept of a happy person. A happy person is a person who is doing things and saying things and living things that make them feel very good. A happy person is going around finding joy in everything in life, finding peace in everything in life, finding everybody good. An unhappy person is a person going around who finds people doing things wrong, judging people, telling people that they're right or they're wrong or they're this or they're that. And you see, in the process, they're making themselves very unhappy, because they're looking for unhappiness and they find it. Now, we've been taught as practitioners to tell people we want to know what it is that would make them happy, what it is that would make them delighted, what it is that would make their life fulfilled. And they say, well, you first have to know what makes me unhappy. And we say, no, we don't. And please don't tell us. Tell us only what makes you happy. But if you don't understand what makes me unhappy, you're not going to understand how I can be happy. And we say, that's your problem. Your problem is dwelling on the unhappiness and empowering it to continue. You're giving it the power to live. Every thought that you give to an unhappy circumstance, you're empowering it to live. Now, it is tough to be a happy person. It is tough to be a happy person because there's a lot in this world that would make us very unhappy. There's a lot in this world that would make us feel self-righteous and look at the wars going on and the people being unkind to other people and the people in poverty and the people with restrictions in their life. Well, if that's what you're going to look at, you better be prepared for having poverty, restrictions, and unhappiness in your life. Because as you think what a man thinks about, as you think, you are drawing that into your experience, not necessarily drawing as though it's not there. It's already there. It's already there. You're not going to get rid of anything that's in your mind or in your thought. You're merely going to determine what it is you're going to concentrate on, what it is you're going to think about. I can look at this beautiful pink flower here on the table, and I can see that it has been chopped off right at the prime of its life. Oh, dear, you know, how terrible it is. And there's just two little blossoms blooming there and another one trying to bloom. And the others, they say, well, why do it? We've already been cut off at the pass, you know. We're dead. Or you can look at the beautiful blossom and say, what a glorious blossom that bloomed just for me. That was my gift to myself. Each little petal is so perfectly formed. Each little flower petal, each stamen and pistil are so beautifully entrenched there. Well, what a glorious little flower, and what a nice little pot it's in, you see? Now, you can say, well, the pot's too short because the stem is too long, and this and that and the other thing. You can make all sorts of complaints. Or if you are that type of person, that you like everything absolutely perfect, then cut off a little more of the stem. So then the stem won't be too long. It'll be the right length. Now, we have the opportunity to be contented in anything we do. We have the opportunity to be at peace with anything we do. We have the opportunity to do those things that are only our nature to do. if we have the courage to do it. Now, harking back again to, what's the name of our movie last night?
The Emperor's Club.
The Emperor's Club. Now, The Emperor's Club was a movie that had great power in it. The teacher was an exquisite teacher, teaching principles and ethics and showing the boys that they should be like Socrates and they should be like these great leaders who stood up for principle, who stood up for principle, who stood up for principle. And he continually brought that home to them. And he did a beautiful job. And as he was teaching the boys, as he was guiding their lives, he guided them to stand up for principle. And they did pretty well. But then, when it came time for him to stand up for principle, he didn't do it. He didn't have the strength of character within himself. He didn't have the strength of character within himself. He didn't have the strength of character within himself. You see, he didn't have the strength of character within himself. He could tell other people how to be principled. He can tell other people how to have character. But when it came time for him to do it, he couldn't do it in a number of instances. And the show was based on the idea that a person wants to be set on the right path. It's their nature to want to be guided in a way that will give them values and give them integrity, or at least help them develop their own integrity. And whenever, and God forbid this should happen here, whenever you feel sorry for anybody, you are digging a hole and climbing right in there with them. Because when you feel sorry, as he felt sorry for the young man whose father was not available to him, and of course most of those boys' fathers weren't available to them. They were businessmen who were very active and didn't have much time for their kids. Fortunately, they sent him to that school. But he felt sorry for the boy because his father didn't have much time for him, and his own personal father was the same way. He felt sorry for the boy because he could see greatness within him. He could see value within him. And he wanted to teach him these principles. He wanted to teach them these things. But when it came time for letting the boy carry his own load, he got in there and helped him. He helped him cheat. When the boy cheated, he recognized it. When the boy was supposed to stop at the end of the class and writing the essay, he let him go on for about 30 seconds longer. 30 seconds, what's that all about? That's 30 seconds. That's 30 seconds or more beyond. Everybody else finished long before that. And then, what else did he do? What he did was he allowed the boy to cheat. Allowed him to cheat? Well, he knew he was cheating, and he didn't call him on it in front of the whole group. In fact, he just casually mentioned it afterwards. And the boy felt completely bereft of any honesty on the teacher's part, because the teacher was not being himself, as far as what the boy expected him to be. And so the teacher was not content. The teacher was not content, and he had no values for himself to live on. And he called himself a teacher. He liked being a teacher. He enjoyed it thoroughly for many, many years, 25 years. But how many times in those 25 years did he cheat? How many times did he feel sorry for some of the boys and give them a little nudge, give them a little edge? How many times? Yeah. We don't know, because the story didn't go in that direction. But in this one story alone, there are 5 times that he cheated, and probably more that we hadn't even noticed. And what had he done? What had he done? He gave them a bad example. And most of the boys were strong enough to handle it, because they already had integrity. They already had the ability to stand for honesty and truth and so forth. But this one boy, whose father was a politician and a cheat and a dishonest person, and that's what got him to where he got, and he taught that to his son, the boy had no new image for himself. He just had a new image that, hey, you can even cheat when the teacher's teaching you ethics. Oh, my goodness, how unhappy that must have been. How unfortunate that must have been. But, when we are content doing what we know how to do, we know what we're doing, something we know how to do well, when we're content. Are you content with your life? And the answer is no. Because if you're content with your life, you will not have time to pick on anybody else. You'll not have time to see if somebody else is doing what they're doing and you're doing what you're doing. You won't have time for that. If you are content with yourself, you will be so happy and so fulfilled with everything you're doing that you will be like Pollyanna. You'll look at around you and you'll see everyone being beautiful. You will not see their evil side, because the moment you start seeing their evil side, then that's you. That's you. You're the evil one, because then you're being something that it's your nature to be. Now, if your nature is love, you'll see everyone in love. If your nature is peace, you'll see everyone being peaceful. If your nature is truth, you'll see everyone telling the truth. If your nature is integrity, wow, then you will see everyone integrity like you have, and how wonderful that is. But you see, when I am content, I am doing something I know well, and I am being something which it is my nature to be. So whenever we feel discontented over anything, we should stop and take a look at what we're doing, stop and take a look at what we're thinking and what our nature is, and are we really following our nature? And our nature is not to be our brother's keeper. Our nature is sometimes not even to be our own keeper, but we must be our own keeper. We must plant in our consciousness the truth about ourselves, the purity about ourselves. We must plant in our consciousness all those things that are so vital for us to live a spiritual life here on earth. And if we want to live a spiritual life on earth, we must let go of all those human desires, the human lusts for eating wonderful meals, for having special clothing, for having warmth or heat, for having time for ourselves, for having anything. You see, let go of it. Let go of it. And the minute you let go of it, I'm not saying you should do it for this reason, but the minute you let go of it, you have everything. You have everything. You turn around and you think, my goodness, where did this lovely coat come from? My goodness, how wonderful this is for me. Everything is going my way. Remember the song, "Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I got a wonderful feeling. Everything's going my way." Well, let's let that be our song. Let's let that be the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart. And let ourselves really enjoy being who we are, and loving this world that we're in, and finding only the good in this world, and letting everything go aside. I've had so many people who wanted to guide me in my lecturing. They wanted to tell me what I should lecture about, usually about somebody else's philosophy. And I'll say, well, what do you want me to lecture about? Well, lecture about this guy's philosophy. So I do. I say, this guy's philosophy is great. He's doing a lot of wonderful things with it, and everyone who is following his philosophy is having a wonderful life. And then I go on, what his philosophy teaches, and it's what I teach, you know? And everything that anybody else teaches, that's what I teach. And that naturally is everything good, because I don't know of anybody who teaches anything bad. And if they teach something bad, I will find the good in it. I will find the good in it. So many people said, well, you know, Sai Baba doesn't do this, and Bhagwan doesn't do that, and Jesus didn't do this, and Buddha didn't do that. I said, hey, man, cool it. They all did far more than we will ever know, because they lived from the inner truth, from their inner integrity, and their inner integrity could only go one way, to be that which is the highest and best. And that could only go one way, which is to be divine. And it could go only one way, just exactly like you and I. And that's wonderful. So let's recognize that when I am content, I am doing something I know very well, and I am being something which it is my nature to be. So think on these things and enjoy the benefit that comes from them. And as you think on them, know that you are surrounded by my pure white light of love. And I love you, I love you, I love you.